We'll go ahead and get started. Again, let's be praying for those that couldn't be here. Several are sick. Several are out of town. So let's just continue to pray for those who are not here. But thank God that we are all here and that we get to look at 2 Peter. We're actually finishing up 2 Peter today. We took a few weeks of break, I think, and now we're finishing up 2 Peter, and it's been ministering to me for the last several weeks, just reading these verses at the end of 2 Peter, so I pray that it'll do the same, and I believe it'll do the same for y'all as well. But I want to pray one more time, just so that our heads and our hearts can be focused. I know I just got scattered for a second. I don't know why I was really focused, and then I just kind of, my mind just started to get really scattered. So I want to pray that we'll all just be able to focus on 2 Peter chapter 3 today. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I just, Lord, I know that oftentimes my mind goes to, in this moment, even just performance and what people are going to think or say about what is said, Lord. I pray, God, that that would be crucified in my own heart right now, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would speak to each person in this room. We're small in number today, but we are all that are believers in here today, your sheep, Lord. So I pray that you would speak to your sheep, Lord. I pray that your word would speak to every heart and every mind in here today, Lord. And I pray, God, that in the next few moments that we would have a laser-like focus on you and what you have to say, Lord. And I pray that all other thoughts and all other cares or all other whatever it is that might hinder us from hearing you, Lord, I pray that those things would be put to the side, Lord, and that we would just be able to focus on you, Lord. God, we need your help in that. Lord, I know I desperately need your help in it because I just got scattered in my mind really, really badly, Lord. So I pray, God, that you would help us today to do that. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. Again, we're going to be wrapping up our 2 Peter series. So we're going to be in chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, and this is kind of Peter's final, they say, salutation. You know, this is his final words, this is his final thoughts, and Peter's talking about a whole lot of things in this book, his second book. He's primarily focused on false teachers. Y'all know that, y'all heard that, y'all been reading that, so you know that that's kind of what he's been talking about. But he gives some final words that I'll be honest with you have been some of the most transformative words in the scriptures that I've read in a long time. So I really believe the Lord is going to use this today in our own heads, in our own hearts, in our own lives, really to help us get focused. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of, you know, as a pastor and a speaker, wanted to come up with some New Year's message or something, because that's kind of what I feel like you have to do or whatever. But we're finishing 2 Peter, so it's just kind of what's next and what we're finishing up with. But what I found over the last couple of weeks is the words that Peter presents here to the church are there. I can't think of any better words to hear to begin a new year, on the second day of a new year. I really can't think of any better words to hear that are just like, without even trying, if you will, to put together a New Year's message. This is a New Year's message. This is an everyday message, but this is certainly a section of Scripture that can grab our attention and get our focus and get us refocused if need be. So I'm really, really excited about talking about this, because I was a bit kind of, again, just kind of thinking, well, I need to do something about New Year's, a new year. And the Lord was like, it's right here. And it just so happened, if you will, that it ended up being what it is today. But that's not so. It was the Lord's providence and the Lord's sovereignty that we finished with this. So I'm excited about it. But as we get started, I wanted to just talk about the New Year's kind of things real quick. I did a little study, and 74% of people do those New Year's resolution things. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. 74% of Americans at least do it. I don't know about people in other parts of the world. I've never really been a big fan of New Year's resolutions. Maybe in my mind, I might say, well, I'm going to do this, that, and the other differently. But some people make a big deal about it, and they make these big, huge kind of refocus on life kind of things. And typically a resolution, a New Year's resolution, is meant to better someone's life, or maybe someone seeks a change or something in whatever they're doing. So, you know, 74% of Americans do that. And, you know, there are, according to the numbers, quite a few of those Americans, I would say, are Christians. So in that 74%, many of those, you know, we got to define Christian here and determine what that actually means in reference to these numbers. But I would say that many of the 74% that makes these resolutions are devout Christians. So a resolution for a Christian might be different than someone who's not a believer. But I want to really just think about the whole idea of a New Year's resolution, starting a new year, and what it actually means. It really is a change of focus. It really is a focusing kind of thing that we do in our lives. It's something that we reflect on the year that has gone by, and we look honestly a lot of times at what we didn't like about the year, and then what do? We say, well, I'm going to do this different so that this will be different for this year. That's what a resolution is. So for today, as we read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, here's what I want us to be thinking about. What I want us to be thinking about today for 2022, for every day of our life. We'll look at 2022 as a whole, but really every day of our life for the rest of our lives. I want us to think about this. What is our focus? Because I know that you guys probably struggle with the same thing that I do in this, but I struggle to focus on the things that are most important every day. I struggle every single day to have a focus on the things that I know are most important in my life. And a lot of times I'm defeated in that. A lot of times I think to myself at the end of the day, I didn't focus on the Lord. I didn't focus on leading people. I didn't focus on my own walk with the Lord. I didn't focus really on any of that. So I find myself really kind of just defeated at the end of the day. So today I just want us to think about, what is our focus? What should our focus be? And let's look at 2022. I really want us to look for the rest of this day, for the next few moments even. What should our focus be? Now, the last section in 2 Peter that we discussed, we covered a whole lot of things. We talked about time. We talked about the false teachers and how they are headed for destruction. We talked about the Lord's patience. We talked about the Lord's patience and His second coming, and His patience that He has on unbelievers to give their life to Christ. The Lord is not just waiting for the day that He can destroy everybody. He's not a mean and an angry God that just wants as many people as possible to be just destroyed. God has been patient up to this day now, January 2nd, 2022, so that more would come to Christ. We talked about that the last time we were in 2 Peter. But then at the very last of that last section that we covered, I'm going to read that verse, because that verse kind of goes into the verses that we're going to read today, and it kind of changes the way we look at the verses we're going to read today. And that last verse is this. It says this: but according to His promise, meaning God's promise, according to God's promise, we as Christians, I added that as Christian part, but we as Christians are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Let me read that one more time. But according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So in that last section, specifically in verse 13, we finished with the theme of the second coming. We finished with the theme of the second coming as a reward. We finish with the thing of the second coming as a reward, but not just a reward, but our focus on what we're waiting for, our focus on what we're looking for. In verse 13, it talks about this promise from God of the second coming of our Lord, and how that is to be something that we long for, that we desire. Why? Because that second coming of the Lord, where the new heavens and the new earth takes place, is where righteousness dwells, and that righteousness dwells is Jesus Christ. So that is the aim. That is the prize. So what are we waiting for today? We are waiting for Jesus to come back. In verse number 14, it starts off and it says, therefore. So he's saying, go back and remember, therefore, we are waiting for the righteousness that dwells. We are waiting for Jesus Christ's return. And Peter finishes like this. He says, therefore, beloved. He calls them beloved again. I think there was 4 or 5 times in this book that he calls them beloved. And again, that shows that Peter's speaking from a pastor's heart. He's speaking from a heart that cares about these people. He's speaking from a heart that knows these people. And he's saying, therefore, beloved. He says, since you are waiting for the second coming of our Lord. He doesn't say just you are waiting for the second coming of the Lord. He says, since you're waiting. So that means he's pointing back to the waiting for the Lord. He said, since you're doing that, that should change the way that you live. Now I want us to just think a moment about waiting. In our life, y'all know this, you do a lot of waiting, don't you? Like we spend a lot more of our time than we think waiting on something. If you're at a store with somebody, I'm not going to say whether you're going to wait on the guy or the girl, but you know, if you're at a store with somebody and one's in and one's out, you spend time doing what? You're waiting. You're waiting on them. I know I spend a lot of time when we go to the store sitting in the car with the two little boys, waiting on the rest of the family to come out. So I'm sitting there waiting, and I'm kind of thinking, what am I going to do in this time of waiting? I need to utilize this time to do something important or something special or something that's really going to help me or whatever. Usually I just have to pray because the boys are swinging from the lights and stuff like that in the car. But we spend a lot of time waiting. We are waiting for just all kinds of things all throughout every single day. So Peter says this. He says, beloved, since you are waiting for the Lord, he says, do this. He says, be diligent to be found by Him, meaning the Lord, without spot or blemish and at peace. And he goes on to say, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, and as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So that's the scripture we're going to be reading today, but I want us to focus right now on that verse number 14 again, where he says, since you and I are waiting, since they were waiting, and since you and I are waiting for these things to happen, since we are waiting for Christ to come back, there are certain things that we need to be focused on. Since we are waiting for His return, there are certain things that we are to be focused on. And he says it like this. He says, since you are waiting for these things, first he says, be diligent. So Peter doesn't just go right into what we're to be doing while we're waiting. He gives kind of the how we are to be doing the things that we're to be doing while we're waiting. And he said, this is my first point in verses 14 through 16. Peter says, while you are waiting, be diligent. While you and I are waiting, be diligent. Now the meaning of the word diligent is this. To be diligent is to have a steady perseverance in our efforts. So to be diligent means we have a steady perseverance in our efforts. Everybody in here probably knows what the word diligence means. But here's what I want to say about it. Diligence is, even though we know what it means, it's also not a foreign concept. Diligence is something that I believe every single human being has either seen or experienced in their own lives. It's not foreign to us. I feel like diligence is one of those things that is ingrained in the human soul. It's ingrained in the human way of living. Diligence is not something that we do all the time and experience all the time, but diligence is something that we just do. Peter says, be diligent. Now, before I tell you what he wants us to be diligent in, I want to tell you practically what being diligent looks like, because this is important. Because Peter's about to give several things that will change our lives today. I truly believe it because it's changed mine. But we've got to know practically what it means to be diligent. Diligent means this practically. Diligent means that we will not stop doing whatever it is that we're set out to do. Diligence means that we won't quit. Diligence means, listen to this was hard for a lot of us. Diligence means that we won't do things halfway. I know, right? Diligence means that we will be determined. Diligence means that we will have focus. Diligence means that we will prioritize. On a very practical level, diligence means that we will schedule. Diligence means that we will evaluate. Diligence means that we, after we evaluate, will determine things in our lives that don't help us get to what we need to focus on, that won't help us get to the goal that we have in our lives as Christians. So therefore, diligence means in that steady perseverance that we will get rid of things that hinder us. Diligence means that we will keep the why at the forefront of everything we do. You see, diligence is more of an attitude and a demeanor rather than a way. Peter says, be diligent. Now, I want us to think about for a moment, what are some things that we just naturally are diligent to do? For many of y'all are students. What do you got to do to get good grades in school? You got to be diligent, right? You have to steadily persevere in doing your homework, in doing your assignments, in studying for your tests, taking your tests. If you don't do that, then you will fail. You have to have diligence to get through school. You got to have diligence in your work. If you don't have diligence in your work and do those things that I just mentioned, then you might not get a promotion. You might not keep a job. You might get fired if you don't have diligence in your work. A lot of bad things can happen if you don't have diligence in your work. If you don't steadily have perseverance through your job and the things that you're doing in your job, then you won't have a job. We just do diligence, right? We have diligence. We have to. We have diligence a lot of times in our health and how we view our health. Many people, especially Americans, are very diligent about their health. Would you agree with that? Health and exercise. We take that as things that are good for us. So, you know, it's important that our bodies are healthy, that our bodies are exercised, and we take in the right foods and different things like that. So what do? If we're really serious about that, then we will be diligent in making sure that we focus on those things, right? We'll schedule those things, right? We'll schedule times to exercise. We'll schedule our meals. We'll schedule our menus. We'll do these things because we're diligent about these things. I imagine if you were to take a pen and a paper, you could write down plenty of things that you're diligent about that weren't on that list. Diligence is something that we just do. And I just want to add that none of the things that I just mentioned on that list are necessarily bad things. Those are all good things. And that's why we are diligent to do them, because they are good and good for us, and they are things that we should do and do heartily for the Lord. But what does Peter say on the large life of a believer kind of platform that we should be diligent as? Peter says, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him. I want you to notice how Peter presented this here, right here. He didn't go into be diligent to work for the Lord. Be diligent to read your Bible. Be diligent to pray. He didn't go right into the nuts and bolts of it. He started off and he says, be diligent to be found a certain way. I want you to think about that for a second. He said, I want you to be diligent to be found a certain way. He says, in other words, make sure that you are focusing on and you have a steady perseverance to be found in the appropriate way and be doing the appropriate things. In other words, make sure that you are being found on the day, on the coming of the Lord, when Christ comes back in the way that Jesus has instructed us to be found. He said, I want you to be diligent in being found a certain way. So from the forefront, what does Peter do? Peter sets the main end goal at the beginning. The end goal for us as Christians is to be found a certain way. The end goal is not the middle. The end goal is not the milestones that we have in our Christian walk. The end goal is not the small steps or the halfway point of our lives and walks with the Lord. The end goal is not that. The end goal is when Christ comes back, is that we will be found in a way, in the way, that Christ wants us to be found. What's important about this is, who are we looking to be found by? Peter says, you're not just looking to be found by some old person. I think about it this way. Whenever I leave, or whenever I used to have other jobs where I worked for people, whether, you know, my boss maybe would leave, and whenever he would come in, I would want him to find me doing the things that I needed to be doing, right? I would want him to find me working hard. I would want him to find more. Even if he popped in and stuck his head into my office, I would want him to find me working away, not being lazy. And I desired that because he was my boss. And I wanted him to be pleased with me. That's built into us, right? I want you to notice what Peter puts on the table here. He says, this person that you're being found by is far greater than a boss, or a spouse, or a mother, or a father, or an aunt, or an uncle, or a pastor, or a leader. He says you need to be diligent to be found by Him. And who is Him? It's got a big H on it. It's our King. It's the King of Kings. So Peter says you need to be diligent in being found by our Lord. That right there is a focus type scripture. He's saying, who do you desire to be found by the most? Is our desire in this earth to be found by some other person more than being found by the Lord? Is our desire in our lives to be found in approval by our parents, or by our spouse, or by our kids, or by our friends, or by other believers, more than it is to be found by our Lord? Peter sets the stage with, let's get our hearts right. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our God, and He is the one, He alone, that we should desire to be found by the most. So He sets the stage. He says, be diligent in being found by Him. And then He says, this is how you need to be found. He says, be diligent to be found by Him. And He says, without spot or without blemish and at peace. So the first thing that Peter says in those verses is be found by Him. In other words, unstained. He says it like this. He says, without spot or without blemish. Now, let's keep in mind that the Bible does teach that we won't be perfect in this life. We're all going to die daily. We're all going to struggle. We're all going to have moments to where we sin. We're not going to be perfect in this life. We're not going to be found by Him absolutely perfect. I know that, and you know that. But what the Scriptures does teach is that there is a perfect Lamb without spot and without blemish, and that is Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ is our Lord. That Jesus Christ is dwelling inside of us. And that Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb without spot and without blemish, is the one that we are trying to look like. So the Bible, as you all know, teaches that in this life, before Jesus returns, we are in this process called sanctification, where we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. See, this is important because there were false teachers that were teaching this. Back in 2 Peter, the previous verses, we saw that the false teachers were teaching something like this. There's no second coming. There's no judgment, so you can do whatever you want to do. That is the opposite of without spot and without blemish. They were teaching you don't have to do what Jesus says. You don't have to look like Jesus in your life. So Peter was setting the record straight again and saying, when Jesus comes back, well, you and I need to be being found diligently pursuing, looking like our spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said it like this: in one sense, you and I are cleansed from our spots and our blemishes already, because Christ died for our sins once and for all on the cross, and His perfect righteousness covers us. His perfect righteousness covers us and is working in us. But even though in one sense we are cleansed from these spots and these blemishes already, in another sense, Spurgeon says, the purifying work of Christ must constantly go on. So what Peter is saying here is this is what our focus should be. We should have diligence. We should have a steady perseverance in that purifying process of becoming without spot and without blemish. We should be working diligently to do that. Now, practically, what does that mean for us? Peter says, be diligent. Be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish. So what does that mean? That means, number one, that we should be diligent. We should be steadily persevering. And that whole list of what diligent means, not stopping, not quitting halfway, all of those things should be at the forefront of our minds right now. But we should be steadily identifying any sin that besets us in this life. As Christians, we need to be steadily identifying any sin in our life that's holding us captive, or any sin in our life, period, that we are participating in. We need to be steadily pursuing identification of those and then the destroying of those sins in our lives. Be diligent at that.
That's right.
This is not something that we should be doing just haphazardly or on the side, if you will, or on Sundays or at D group meeting or anything like that. Peter is saying you're going to be found by Him.
That's right.
And you need to be found by Him in a hard pursuit of identifying these things in your life that cause us to have spot and blemish. But here's where this gets real. There's a lot of people that will say, a lot of Christians that will say, and I find myself in this category a lot of times, well, I've worked at that action kind of sin, if you know what I mean. Like I've worked really hard at identifying those sins that I do, like there's an actual action that cause spot and blemish in my life. But then there's this other mechanism for sin that all of us share in this room, that Peter was talking about here, that we oftentimes just kind of let go and like kind of go to the wind. And that is this thing that rests between our ears. Peter says you and I should be diligent at being found without spot or blemish. So not only does that mean we need to be identifying those sins that are just in our lives, and those sins that easily beset us, as it says in Hebrews 12, but we also need to be identifying and bringing to the forefront of our heads the thoughts that hold us captive daily. We need to be identifying any thought process that we have in our lives, any kind of tendency that we have in our lives, any kind of go-to thought process, any kind of default thought process, any kind of thoughts that we have in our lives that just pop into our heads. You know those kinds, like say you see something on TV and something just pops into your head, and what do? You go off on rabbit trails, don't you? You start to just think about all kinds of things, and then you find yourself at the end of the day just kind of like defeated. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We all have those, and you see, we don't think about it this way, but those things create spots and blemishes in us, because those things, if we allow them to continue to be the way that we think, are sinful thought patterns. So guys, today Peter is saying we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, at identifying every single thought that we have and holding every thought that we have captive, and determining, is this thought process, is this way of thinking, is this of the mind of Christ? And once we've done that, And you know what? It's hard sometimes when we think it's hard to determine, is this of Christ or not? If you look at this book, you can pretty much find out if the thoughts and the thought processes that we have are of the mind of Christ. And once we make that determination, once our shepherd Jesus speaks to us and shows us that about our thoughts and our thought processes, it's at that point that we have to not just be lazy at this, but that we have to be diligent. Diligent, moment by moment, day by day, is saying, you know what? I'm going to hold that thought captive. I'm going to hold that tendency in my mind captive. I'm going to hold that default thought process captive. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm not just going to hold it there and look at it, which is what we do a lot of times. I'm going to take it and I'm going to destroy it. John Piper said it like this in the holding of our thoughts as captive, is he says, sometimes you got to visualize it. Sometimes you got to visualize it in your mind. Whatever these thoughts are, these thought processes, you got to visualize it in your mind. You got to visualize a hand taking those thoughts in those hands. And then you got to visualize actually destroying it. He says, tear it apart. Obliterate it from your mind. And then you know what Peter's saying? You got to keep doing that. Because here's what I'll tell you. If you want to get off focus, if you want to be derailed from being focused on being found by Him in the way that He wants us to be found, then you just let your mind go. Sadly, as Christians, many times we don't do this with diligence. We don't hold our thoughts captive with diligence. And those thoughts will create spots and blemishes in us. Guys, we've got to get serious about doing this. If you want to have a different kind of year this year, then here's what I want to tell you. Be diligent. Be diligent at identifying the thoughts and the patterns of thoughts that you and I have had, maybe even for years. Maybe even you've spent your entire life with a thought pattern or a thought process of everything goes back to just fear. That can die today. And you know what? It can die later today. It can die tonight. When you're trying to go to bed, it can die in the morning whenever you get up. But you've got to be diligent in grabbing those thoughts, holding them captive, and tearing them apart. Peter says, be diligent in finding yourself without spot or blemish. And then he moves on and says, and at peace. Peter says, be diligent at being found at peace. What does this mean? Whenever we are found by Christ at the second coming, Peter is saying that we need to be found having been working with diligence at living in a state of peace. So as a Christian, when Christ comes back, we need to be found working diligently with a general peace in our life. I'm going to tell you something that derails me almost every single day, and that is lack of peace in my life. And friends, you know what causes me to not have peace in my life so many times? It's the thing we just talked about before. Whenever I'm not working diligently to crucify the sin or the thought processes in my life that are sinful, that are creating spots and blemishes in my life, when I'm not working diligently doing that, then I don't have peace.
That's right.
And you know what? We don't just have peace. That's right. Peace doesn't just get zapped into us. Peace is something that we have to work towards that God gives us. But I want you to remember Philippians 4, 6 through 7. He don't just say, look, you're going to wake up and I'm going to zap that peace into you. What does He say? He says you have to give Him those things that you're struggling with. He says that you have to cast all of your anxieties on Him and then He's going to give you peace. He's going to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And Peter says here, you need to be diligent at working to have that peace. But what's something else that don't give up, that creates a non-peace state in our life? One thing that happens in our lives a lot of times is we will doubt whether or not we know the Lord. Now remember, Peter's talking about the second coming of Christ. He's talking about in verse 13, you're going to be found by Him. And when you're found by Him, you should be found diligently pursuing peace. Now a lot of times relationship problems, a lot of times stress, a lot of times anxiety, a lot of times just money problems, whatever it is, you can fill in the blank. A lot of times these things
cause us to not have peace in this life. And again, we've got to cast those things on the Lord. But there is something that causes many, many Christians to not experience the peace of God in their life on a daily basis, that a lot of times they will spend their entire lives struggling with, and that is the peace of knowing that whenever I'm found, that I am secure. There are so many believers that are unsure of their salvation, and they struggle with doubt and uncertainty of whether or not they know Christ, that they live in a constant state of turmoil. Let me say this, you cannot please God if that's the way you're living. Peter says, work diligently to be found at peace. How do we do that? How do we work diligently to be found at peace? At the beginning of 2 Peter, he gives this whole long list of things that we are to pursue in this life. He says in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For your faith, and he goes on to that list, he says, for your faith with virtue, your virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. Peter mentions diligent again here, and I believe he had this in mind in the end when he mentioned it. He said, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Stop right there one moment. When he says to confirm your calling or election, what he's saying is to confirm whether or not you belong to Jesus Christ and you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. What does he say? He says, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you. Here is a promise to us today. This should create a peace in our heart. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what was Peter saying in chapter 1? Peter was saying at the forefront, confirm your calling and election. He was saying, confirm whether or not you know Christ. Because a lot of people will say, Lord, Lord, as we know, on that final day. And Jesus is going to say, what? Depart from me. I never knew you. So Peter is saying, we need to be diligent in confirming whether or not we know the Lord. And what does he say we are to do in order to confirm whether or not we know the Lord? He says, practice these things. Now, I want to be clear. These things practiced will not make us right with God. No righteousness that we ever do or that we could ever do could make us right with God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we could be made right with God. But what we can do is we can see the workings of Christ in our lives when we are practicing these things. And here's what I'll say. If we don't know Christ, can we practice these things? I believe we can from time to time. I believe from time to time we can be gentle. I believe from time to time we can have virtue. I believe from time to time we can be steadfast. I believe from time to time we can try to be godly. But here's one thing that I know. If we don't know Christ in those efforts, they will eventually fall away and we will revert back to, just like the false teachers, their original way, and that is a way of sin. So Peter says in chapter 1, he says, confirm your calling and election. Practice these things, and if you see these things in your life, then that can be an assurance that you know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And here at the end of 2 Peter, he says you need to work diligently to be found at peace. I can't think of another thing to struggle with that will keep a person that says they know Christ from being more like Christ and living a life that is pleasing to God than struggling to whether or not they know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I struggle with a lot of things in this life. And I'm sure that y'all have your own struggles that you struggle with. But I'll say this in all honesty, there is no other thing in my life that I've ever struggled with than when I struggled with, do I really know Christ? Because none of the other things that I struggled with really mattered if I didn't know Him. So Peter says this, you need to be diligent and working to identify the things that cause spots and blemishes in your life, but you need to be diligent at being found at peace. So friends, if you ever struggle with whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that doesn't need to be just this thing that gets pushed under the rug or this thing that you try not to think about. We need to hit that head on this morning. We need to hit that head on with a diligence and say to ourselves and pray to the Lord, Lord, I want to know. I want to have peace. I want to walk daily in the peace of the Lord, trusting and believing the Scriptures that we are saved by grace through faith. And I want to be able to see the workings of the Spirit in my life. And friends, let me just tell you, if you don't know Christ, then the Spirit is not in you, and the workings of the Spirit will not be in you.
That's right.
So Peter says, be diligent at being found in a state of peace. And lastly, in this section, he says, be diligent to be found working. He says in verse 15, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with error of the lawless people and lose your stability. So Peter says, be diligent in being found without spot or blemish. Be diligent in being found at peace. And then he says at the end of that, be diligent working. And what I mean by working is he brings up what he had just mentioned on the patience of the Lord. Don't count that patience as something just to dismiss. Don't count that patience as something that we don't need to think about. He says, count that patience as God giving the people in this world another chance or a chance to believe. In other words, what Peter is saying, be diligent in pursuing the mission of God, of spreading the message of the gospel. So what are three things that we need to be diligent in this year, this day? We need to be diligent in pursuing a life that is without spot or blemish. So we've got to do all those things that I mentioned. We need to be diligent at pursuing our peace with God. We need to be diligent at living a life at peace with Him, and all the other things that we are doing will fall into place. And then we need to be diligent at seeing the patience of God as an opportunity to live the life on mission that God has called each of us to live. What better three things can I say on the second day of January in a new year other than be diligent to look like Jesus, be diligent to experience the peace of God every day of your life, which will change your life, and be diligent to live a life on mission. That is what we're to be focused on today and this year. So let me just ask you this question. How diligent have we been at pursuing those three things? There are so much we could talk about in those three things. There are so many details that cannot be mentioned today because we don't have time. But how diligent are you in those three things? I'll say this, I'm not as diligent as I need to be, but whenever I am diligent at those, I experience God's grace and God's peace in my life more than I ever have. And I have determined that if I'm going to live this life for the Lord and be found by Him in this way, I have no other option, and neither do you, into putting forth diligence into these categories in our lives. And there is no room in any portion of our day to fall slack in that. This is somewhat of a challenge to us today. Because I'll tell you, from experience, that the moment that I wake up in the morning, there is a war that goes on in my mind that is brutal, that is intense, that is confusing, that is accusatory, that tears me apart, rips me all over. That at many times throughout the day, I'm so messed up because of the things that I'm thinking, the fears that I have, the confusions that I have going on, the accusations that I'm listening to, that I can't even really think straight. That's why these things require us to pursue them with a steady perseverance. That's why it requires us to wake up in the morning with an attitude of, I'm going to start now until the time that my eyes close, and even in my dreams I'm going to be praying that the Lord would guard me and protect me. Because listen, our minds don't stop in our dreams. Now, we can't necessarily control our dreams, but the God of the universe can guard us in our dreams. And I've come to determine that there is no portion of my day to where I don't, or to where I'm able to not pursue these things with diligence, and you're not either. If you want to see, let's just put it like this, the rest of this day. If you want to experience Christ the rest of this day to the utmost, then it will require you and I to, from this moment on, pursue these things with diligence. It will require us to work so hard and it's tiresome, but it will require us to do that to the point of exhaustion many times if we're going to experience this. And you might be thinking, that's not true. How's it work for you when you just try to go through the day? I'll tell you how it works for me. There'll be times that I'll be diligent in these things and I'll get cocky, I guess you'd call it, or I'll get confident. I'll even say in my own mind, everything's doing good. We got no problems. Everybody's happy. I'm not thinking any crazy stuff right now. Everything's good. So I'll say, I'm just going to kick back and just do whatever. I sit down. It's at those moments daily when I sit down and cross my leg and make a determination in my mind, well, I don't have to do that anymore. It's at those moments that the arrows of the enemy come at me harder than they ever have before. And you know what? When you're sitting down, you're a little bit closer to the ground. You're a little bit closer to being on your back. That's why Paul said, stand and stand firm. There is no room in our day to not be diligent in these things. Peter says, be diligent. Then he says, be firm. He says, be firm. He says, you therefore, beloved, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your stability. In other words, he's speaking in reference back to the false teachers who are bringing these false ideas and these false realities and these false truths. 2 Timothy 2:14 through 18 talks about these lawless people that are bringing these things that are not true. And Peter says, he says, you need to be diligent and you need to be firm. Because if you're not firm, if you're not firm in the truth, if you're not firm in the faith, if you're not working in your diligence, then you will lose your stability. He says, be careful. Notice he says, take care that this doesn't happen. Taking care means you're making sure of something. If I say to you, I'm going to take care of it, that means I'm going to make sure something happens. Peter says, beloved, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people. You see the seriousness here. He's saying, make sure that you're not carried away with lawless people and their heresies. If you are carried away by them, then guess what? You're going to lose your stability. So Peter says, be diligent And then he says, be firm. And then he finishes it with this, and this is how I will close. He says in 2 Peter, verse 18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. He says, be diligent. He says, be firm. And then he says, here's how you need to be found. He says, be found growing. He says, be found growing. And here's what he says we need to be found growing in. He says, be found growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the beginning of this book, the grace of Jesus Christ was at the center. Peter prayed in verse 1. He prayed that the grace and peace of our Lord would be multiplied to us. So he began this epistle, he began this book with a multiplied grace in the believer's life, and then he finishes this book with, be growing in that grace. He says, be growing in the grace of our Lord, and then second, he says, be growing in the knowledge of our Lord. Be growing in the knowledge of our Lord means that we are to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our God. And the only way to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our God, that word's knowledge, is reference to this book right here. If you want to grow in the knowledge of your God, then you need to read this book.
That's right.
Then you need to meditate on this book. And you need to be diligent at it. You need to not quit at it. If you get behind on the Bible reading plan, don't get defeated and quit. Pick up where you left off and just keep going. Start where you're at and keep going. But be diligent at it. Don't stop halfway. He says, be growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he finishes and he says, be growing in the pursuit of glory for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean and why did he finish with that? I've never really considered much about living a life for the glory of Christ as much as I have this week. Peter says, be growing in your pursuit of glory for our Lord. You and I should be diligent in living a life that is bringing glory to God. Let me ask you a question. I was honest with myself this week and I thought to myself, how many times do I actually think on a daily basis about the glory of God through my life? Like, I'll think about it, but there are far too many other moments in my day to where I'm angry or I'm frustrated and I let that frustration out on others. Whether that be one of y'all or my family or a friend or a lost person, there are times that I just make a bad decision. All throughout my day, I do these things a lot of times. And I'll tell you, when I'm doing those things, I am not thinking about and growing in having a desire to bring glory to my God. Because if I was thinking about those things, then I probably wouldn't do those things as much. So Peter finishes this off with really a challenge. He says, be found growing in your pursuit of bringing glory to God. I'll say this, the more we see God's glory in our lives, the greater desire we will have to bring Him glory with our lives. I want us to finish just with this thought in our mind. I want us to finish with this thought in our mind, and that thought is this. What can I do throughout my day to keep the glory of God shown through my life at the forefront of my mind and thoughts? What can I do to keep the big picture of our lives are basically presenting glory to something, whether it's God or ourselves or something that's just evil. Think about it that way. All throughout every one of our days, our lives are being bringing glory to something. And Peter says we should be found bringing glory to our God. So what can we do? What can we do on a daily basis to think about the glory of God being seen in my life? What can you do on a daily basis to keep the glory of God seen through your life at the forefront of your head and your heart and your life and your actions? What can we do? As we come to a close, I'll tell you one thing that we can do. This is why we have the Lord's Supper every single Sunday. One of the best ways for us to keep the glory of God in our lives, at the forefront of our lives, and one of the best ways for us to be found pursuing the glory of God in our lives is to be remembering daily what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So in case we have forgotten, as the music begins to play and we move into our time of response and reflection of what we've read and heard in 2 Peter, I want us to think about this. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday because Jesus said to His disciples, "Do this as often as you will," as a reminder. As a reminder of what Jesus Christ has done for you and I on the cross. What Jesus has done for you and I on the cross is He has taken our place. All of us have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, and Christ took our place on the cross. He paid our debt for us on the cross so that we could be made right with God through His sacrifice. Again, He is the spotless Lamb that was the only spotless Lamb to be worthy enough to pay the penalty for the sins of the world, which includes you. We need a reminder of that on a daily basis. Whenever we're struggling throughout the day to be growing in a pursuit of bringing glory to our God. And I'm just going to add this. If our pursuit is a growing pursuit of bringing glory to God with our life, look, our lives will look different.
That's right.
They will not. We won't stay the way that we are. If the glory of our King is our pursuit, then we will, in a sense, be forced to deal with the ways that don't bring glory to our God in our lives. Now, God doesn't really force us to do anything, but we'll be, if our pursuit is genuinely to bring glory to our God on a daily basis, then we have to deal with these things. We have to deal with our sin. We have to deal with our lack of peace in our life. If that's our pursuit, then I believe one of the best ways to keep that pursuit of His glory in our lives is to remember one of the greatest reasons why we are to bring Him glory. And that is, He came and He lived and He did what no man on this earth could do except for the man God, except for the perfect God of the universe came down in man form, and He did what no other man could do. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins to make us right with God. And then He went to the grave, but then He rose from the grave so that we would all not just be forgiven, but that we would be alive and living in victory, free from the chains of our sins. If you and I want to have a growing pursuit and living a life that brings glory to God, then ponder and think on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ all throughout the day. And I can assure you that if that's what you're thinking about, if that's what you're remembering, then it'll be hard. It'll be hard not to diligently pursue a life that brings glory to God. But again, like we said before, there are a lot of things that we put diligence towards, right? And as we come to this time of response, I want you all to pray Psalm 139, as we always say, and asking God to search your heart and know your heart and show you if there's any wicked ways in you and lead you into the way everlasting. I want to ask you to pray that psalm, that God would search you and know you and lead you and show you these things that need to change, that you need to repent of. But guys, as you take the Lord's Supper and you sit down and you get ready to take it, and even after you take it, I want you to ask yourself the question, what am I being diligent at today? I want you to take an accounting type evaluation of last year. Ask yourself a question that might hurt a little bit, but what did you put forth the most diligence in last year? Now, mind you, we have to put forth diligence towards many things in this life. I get that. But the amount of diligence that we put forth towards being found by Him in the way that He has mentioned should make the diligence that we put forth in any other category of our life seem kind of weak.
That's right.
So I ask you just to evaluate, what did I diligently pursue last year? Guys, we can't change last year. We live in guilt from last year. We can beat ourselves up from last year, but that's not going to do any good. Today, as you pray and respond, here's what I want you to pray first. I want you to pray first something like this. Father, according to your promise, I am waiting for you to come back and find me. There's a passage in 1 John that says the same thing, that you and I should be found pursuing these things. But it says something that's really kind of wrecked my soul before. It says, some will be found ashamed. Think about that for a second. As a Christian, we won't be found unforgiven, because Christ's perfect righteousness covers us. But as a Christian, whenever He comes back, we will give an account for our lives. And it says in 1 John, do not be found ashamed. What that means for us today is don't be found being diligent is something that doesn't matter. Be found diligently pursuing these things that Peter's instructed us to pursue. So as we pray, just consider that question. What am I and what have I been diligent at this year? And what can I do, starting today even, to be more diligent and being found by Him ways? These are deep questions, but I just ask you to ponder them and ask the Lord to lead you, and you spend this time in prayer, whatever that looks like. If you need to pray with somebody, then Chastain or myself or anybody sitting next to you that's a Christian can pray with you. If you need to spend 30 minutes praying, then you spend 30 minutes praying. If you need to spend 3 minutes praying, it doesn't matter. Just take this time and meditate on the scripture that we just read. And really seek the Lord on this, because this requires us to evaluate. This requires us to look at our life and look at our heart and look at our pursuits and ask ourselves what we're doing and what to change starting today. And it's hard. It hurts us sometimes to think about it. But it's the only way. It's the only way for us to get focused. So I just ask you to do that today. And rest in the grace of God. Rest in God's grace. Remember His death on the cross. covers even your diligent pursuits of things that don't matter. So don't forget that today. Don't get hung up in that time of inspection. Stay in that time of inspection long enough for the Spirit of God and the Word of God to expose in you the things in you that need to change. And then get out of that time of inspection and into the way everlasting, because that's where God intends to do that work in you.
That's right.
So let's do that today.